Amen. Praise the Lord for that special and the message of that. Do you want to be that man? Can I tell you that God wants you to be that man? And we can be what God wants us to be. Because we have Him to enable us. We have Him to equip us. And this passage of Scripture that we have been looking at and preaching on and teaching in all the workshops, the idea here is we can be that man. We can accomplish what God would have us to accomplish. Matthew chapter 17, turn there if you would. Stand with me once again this afternoon as we conclude this men's conference. There's no doubt there has been help available here for us. And I trust that you have opened yourself up to receive it. If you're not living a victorious Christian life, if you're not the man that God wants you to be in all the different positions that you have in life, then you have a problem somewhere. Satan is working in your life somewhere. There is a blinder on your eyes. You're not receiving that which you need. There's a problem somewhere. And the disciples at this point, they understand that now. No matter all the things we preached on last night, they did everything that they could think of at that time except for going back to Christ and getting the solution to the problem. This was a this kind. They had never come up with this kind before. They had been defeating the devil. They had been winning the victory. But this kind come up, and they did not go back to Christ. They gave up. They quit. Don't give up. Don't quit. Go back to Christ. Verse 19. The solution. We're looking at the solution. To receive the equipment that God wants us to have. Then came the disciples as Jesus apart and said, why? Why could not we cast them out? I believe they were sincere, they were earnest, they wanted to know why they couldn't do it. They seen that it could be done. You might see other men doing it. You can too. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. It's right there to start with. It's always right there. We don't have the faith that we could have. We don't have all the faith that God wants us to have. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing. That includes whatever you're facing. That includes whatever it is that's keeping you from being that man. Shall be impossible unto you. And then right here, this is the solution. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Father, we bow before you. And Lord, I know that you have the answers for us. You can equip us, and I know you desire to equip us to receive and to have the solutions to whatever this kind we face. I pray, God, right now that you'd help each and every one of us to open our hearts and our minds up once again to you. I know there's been a lot taken in today. There's been a full day. But, God, I believe you have this solution, this help. And I pray that you'd empower the teaching and the preaching of thy word once again to enable each and every man here to receive what they have need of. Bless in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As I said last night, this is probably the signature New Testament event for this idea of prayer and fasting. Fasting is an extension to prayer. As we see right here, you first need to have faith. If you don't believe in God, you might go through the motions of prayer, but it's not going to do anything for you. It might make you think that you're getting help. But if you don't believe in God, how in the world can you truly believe that God is going to answer a prayer if he doesn't exist? You have to believe. You have to have faith enough to believe and to know that God loves you and God wants you to be that man that he has called you to be. Faith. It all begins with faith. And once you have faith to know that there is a God and you understand that he has given you communication line to him. He's designed a way that we can communicate with the Creator God. If you truly have faith to know that there is a God and he loves you and now he's your heavenly Father, why wouldn't you want to talk to him? Why wouldn't you want to go to him and receive that which he has for you to equip you to be the man, the servant, the Christian that God wants you to be? And then you have fasting. Can I tell you, fasting helps us to focus on faith. It's what God has given to it. It's an extension of prayer. But as you understand, it's an extension of prayer. When you commit yourself to that extension of prayer, then while you are in fasting, it helps you to go back to there is a God, because that's the whole idea, is to separate yourself and get rid of things and focus on who God is. And once you get back to understanding who God is, then you will have a more powerful prayer life. Because now you have the faith to get your prayers answered. Without faith and without prayer, it's just a diet. You get no spiritual power from fasting if you don't have faith. And if that faith does not lead you to get on your face before an almighty God and pray. Let me read to you. I love this psalm. Psalms chapter 35 and verse 13. The psalmist says, "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting." It humbles your soul. "And my prayer returned unto mine own bosom." Job would say in chapter 32 and verse 12, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." It's a powerful tool that God has designed for all believers to equip them to get the victory over all things. A Bible definition of fasting is the abstaining of food or pleasures. We find in the scriptures there's even a sexual fasting to be able to have power with God. The abstaining of food or pleasures for a period of time for spiritual power with God. Spiritual power with God comes from an awareness of who God is and what God has given to me to get a hold of his power. Faith. Prayer. And when you need it. See, sometimes faith and prayer is all you need. You're going to be able to overcome a lot of things as a born-again believer if you have faith and prayer. But you're going to come up against this kind. An uncommon demon. An uncommon temptation. Something that you've not really faced before. And if you are not aware of the equipment that God has given to us and the extension of prayer, of fasting, that will defeat you. And if you're not the man that God wants you to be right now, something is defeating you. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. This is something that Jesus wanted his apostles to understand. This event has been preserved by God so that we, as born-again believers in this 21st century, facing things in this 21st century that mankind has never faced before. Facing that internet. Facing everything that is at our fingertips. Hearing news from all around the world in an instant. Pastors, we've never faced what we're facing today with a congregation that hear about everything that happens all around the world in any time, in a moment. And the temptations are there. And the battles are there. This idea that we are equipped, God has equipped us for everything that we will face in life. He wants us to understand this extension to prayer called fasting, because it will bring you back to faith and prayer. In Matthew chapter 9, John the Baptist is still alive, but he's in prison. He's awaiting an execution. And we find his disciples addressing Christ. Go back with me, if you will, just to give you understand what's here. Verse 10, it says, "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat at the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now that's what was taking place in this event. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples fast not?" These are the disciples of John. These are those that have been taught by John the Baptist, who is now in prison awaiting his execution. No doubt they're fasting for his deliverance. And Jesus said unto them, "Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then..." Some 2,000 years the bridegroom's been taken from us. "Shall they fast?" John had taught his disciples to fast. In the short period of time that John the Baptist was in his public ministry, and he was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was preparing them for the coming of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that he did that God wanted him to do and he accomplished before Christ actually came, before he was in prison, is he was preparing his disciples and he taught them the necessity to fast. Faith, prayer, and fast. He wanted to equip them. It was something that God wanted revealed to many believers. Too many believers are ignorant of biblical fasting. Yeah. John would have had the Old Testament to use. He did not have the completion of the New Testament to use. He was teaching them a fulfillment of the Old Testament. The fulfillment of the Old Testament, so that fasting is not something just in New Testament time. If we had time, if you would study the Bible on fasting, you'll find fasting throughout the Old Testament with the children of God, the nation of Israel. The leaders of God oftentimes would fast when they needed something from God, something special from God, a deliverance, a power, whatever it might have been. They would fast for that. But as we mentioned last night, David, fell into temptation with this kind. I don't know they'd ever faced that before. And it led to a hindrance and a scar upon David, and it affected his whole family. 2 Samuel chapter 12, I want you to see this. I want you to understand this idea of fasting. Understand, it's an extension to our prayer life. And if you don't have it, you will not go back to faith and prayer. And it's 2 Samuel chapter 12 right here. You know the story. Nathan comes to David after David thinks that he has put it out of his mind and got by with it. Nathan comes and says, you're the man. And God would have taken your life, but now you have acknowledged and you have repented. And God is going to spare your life. But the child that came out of this, God is going to take him. God is going to take this child's life. Now that brings us down to verse 16, chapter 12, verse 16. David, therefore, besought God. Now what's that? That's prayer. That's him believing that God is listening to him. And he besought God. He's asking God. He's praying to God for the child. And David fasted. If you don't have faith in prayer, fasting is not going to do anything. It's an extension of that. David fasted and went in, lay all night upon the earth. After just one night upon the earth, then verse 17, and the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day. Wow. David's fasting laid out on his face before Almighty God. He knows what he's done. He knows what God says, but he's hoping, he's praying, he's asking God to spare the life of this child. What kind of sacrifice will we make? What kind of fast would we give ourselves to do to answer that prayer? When I fast, it means that I desire the answer to this prayer more than whatever it is I'm fasting. And the whole time I'm fasting, I'm thinking about the prayer. I'm thinking about faith in God and my prayer, my asking him for whatever it might be, deliverance, whatever it might be. It came to pass on the seventh day, 7 days without getting up. As far as we know, the Bible didn't say anything, but 7 days without food. 7 days without even going to the bathroom. He just stayed there. I mean, this is what the Bible says. And as after the seventh day, that child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. For 7 days he wouldn't even listen. He just stayed on his face. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? Is he going to take his own life when he finds out the child's not? That's what they're saying here. But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. The prayer had been answered. God had given him the answer. There's no need to fast any longer. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord. That's a good place there to say, when you come to the house of the Lord, wash. Amen. Clean up. Put your best on. And worshiped. Yeah. And he came to his own house, and when he required, they set before him as he did eat. Then said the servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while he was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. That's what they observed. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? I'm fasting to get an answer to my prayer. Because fasting will take you back to faith and prayer. And even when the answer might be no, God will give you grace to accept it and move on with the peace of God, knowing that God had purpose in that. But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? No, I shall go unto him. That is the peace. A peace that passeth all understanding is knowing that ultimately heaven is a place I'm going to go, and it's going to hold a healing for me and everyone else that goes there. I shall go to him, but he shall not return unto me. I believe that would be, if you will, the signature event in the Old Testament to understanding New Testament fasting. And John taught his disciples, I believe that he would have used the testimony of David in that passage of Scripture to help them to know that fasting is something that God uses to equip us to get the victory. Go back with me. Chapter 9. So here's John's disciples. These particular disciples were not sure of the true reason of fasting. They were fasting. But they also mentioned that they were with they included the Pharisees. The Pharisees fast for a show. They question Jesus, and their question reveals discontentment when they observe Jesus' disciples not fasting. Matter of fact, they were doing the opposite. They were feasting. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples fast not? Now, again, a little discontentment here. Why do we have to fast? Fasting is never desirous. Why keep yourself from eating what you want to eat? Why keep yourself from having whatever pleasures you want to have? Why do we have to fast and your disciples don't? They missed out on what Jesus had been teaching. And they missed the mark as far as what John had taught. In Matthew chapter 6, we find that Jesus had taught his disciples. And Matthew chapter 6 is something that we need to understand as well. Verse 16 down to verse 18, Jesus teaching here in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, moreover, when you fast, did you get a hold? When you fast. It's part of the Christian life. It's something that you need to understand as much as you need to understand faith and you need to understand prayer. You need to understand this idea of fasting. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their face, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. It's not so you can look super spiritual. You missed the mark. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face. It's not about what other people see. But thou appear not unto men to fast. But the reason for the fast is but unto the Father, which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. They based their fasting on what others were doing. No. It's your fast. You do it to please God. You do it to remind yourself of the faith that you need to have and belief in God. And the prayer and what you're asking God for. What you're looking to receive the power to overcome. It's what he wants you to do. Jesus wanted his disciples to learn this lesson and ask him, where do we fail? He wanted to equip them for the next time that they would face a this kind. And he said, first of all, it's faith. And then this kind, you're not going to get the victory. It's not going to come out. You're not going to defeat that demon without faith and then prayer and then fasting. Wow. That's what Jesus taught. That's what John taught. That's what the Bible teaches, Old Testament and New Testament. I pray and I fast to please God. God, what would you have me to fast? It's your fast. We have a month of prayer and fasting at the church. And in this month of prayer and fasting, each week we present something to the people to help them to understand being aware of fasting. Whatever it might be, an awareness. Once you're aware of it, then you look to see, all right, what do I need to, what would you have me to fast to be able to get back to increasing my faith and giving me more power in my prayer life? We have some of the greatest testimonies in the month of April. We see God work in so many different ways, and the people are talking about this fast and what God did here and the answer to this prayer, answer that. Praise the Lord for it. And it's awareness. We have to be aware of what the tool, how God has equipped us. Yes, faith. And praise God for prayer. And that is, prayer is the main thing. But sometimes we lose power in our prayer because we don't have enough faith. And if we get to the place of, we get to that place, we need to add the extension of fasting to bring us back, to discipline our bodies, to discipline our minds, to get back to knowing who God is. Now I'm ready to pray with power. Jesus' answer tells us a lot. Chapter 9, he answers the disciples of John. Verse 15. And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Now they're looking at his disciples, they're feasting, they're not fasting. And he said, can you get any closer to God than when he's walking with you? Fasting is the final step that God gives us to get answers to prayer. It's an extension. A mechanic might have a socket and a wrench, and he might be able to get a lot of bolts off that he's trying to get things off of this engine or whatever it might be. He might have a ratchet, he might have the right sockets, but there's always going to be at least one bolt that's down inside there. And he's looking at what he has, and he says, well, I have a ratchet and I have the right socket, but how can I get down to that bolt? And then he realizes, in my toolbox is an extension. And if I put that extension on the ratchet and I put it on the socket, I can get down and I can get that bolt off. I didn't use the extension, I'd never be able to get that bolt off. It's an extension. It's not the main thing, but it's an extension to the main thing. Fasting is the final step to getting answers to prayer. Those prayers that you need to get answers, that power that you need to have to overcome that demon, to be able to cast that demon out, to be able to get the victory over whatever it might be. His disciples were experiencing his power when they were walking with him. They were experiencing him healing the sick. When they would see him feed the 5,000, did they have any doubt who he was? Was their faith weak or strong? When they seen him heal the sick, give sight to the blind, raise the dead, they were experiencing that with him. Did they have any problem with their faith? Would they have any problem with asking him whatever they needed to ask him, knowing that he had the power to answer their prayers? When they're walking with him, they're getting everything that he has. They're seeing it all. Their faith is where it needs to be. Their prayer life is where it needs to be. If Jesus were here today, I would not be fasting. I would be kneeling at his feet, as did Mary. Martha didn't quite understand it, but Mary understood it. I'd be at his feet, getting everything I could, experiencing everything I could. Because as I was walking with him, my faith is where it needs to be. And my prayer life could not be any better. But then he says this, and we're almost done. Follow with me here. He says, can the children of the bride chamber mourn, fast, and mourn? Do they need to do that as long as the bridegroom is with them? But look right here, mark it down. But the days will come when the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, shall be taken from them. He ascended some 2,000 years ago. Yeah. But he left us what we have need of to equip us to overcome any demon, to overcome any temptation, to live a victorious Christian life. And then, they shall fast. It may be this morning, this afternoon rather, that you need God's intervention. You've done all that you can. You realize you need help to be that husband, father, church member, testimony at work. Or maybe you're facing trials. Don't know how you're going to get through it. Maybe you have health issues, financial issues, relationship problems. Yeah. The Bible says in Psalms 50:15, let me read it to you, call unto me in the day of trouble. Call unto me in the day of trouble, health issues, financial issues, relationship issues, whatever it might be, call unto me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Can I tell you, most of the time, faith and prayer is enough. But we're going to face this kind. Jesus told them, they're going to face this kind. When you're facing of this kind, it requires a time of fasting. Are you equipped with it? Have you been ignorant to it? God wants you to be equipped. He has given us everything that we have need of to be victorious in every area of our Christian lives. It starts with you, men. Help your wife to become victorious. to help your children to become victorious, to help your coworkers, to help your family members. God wants you to be equipped. You facing it this kind? Know what God would have you to do, and you can have the victory. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. God knew who was going to be here for this men's conference. I believe in the sovereignty of God. And in the sovereignty of God, I believe in the providence of God. That's what helped me to know God wanted me to preach this meeting. It was not something I sought after. It was not something that I wanted to have happen. I believe God wanted it. I trust that I have preached exactly what God wanted me to preach. I trust that each one of these men that have talked in these workshops have presented to you exactly what you have need of. God knew who would be here. He knows you. He knows where you're struggling. He knows what you have need of. He wants to give you and equip you so that you can get the victory. Not only help you, help your family, help your church, help the cause of Christ to move forward. All you need to do is look to Him. All you need to do is apply the things that God's revealed. And the next time you face of this kind, you'll be able to defeat it. Father, we bow before you tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for this conference, for each man and every church that's represented here. And God, as we have presented what you wanted us to, I trust that now you would help each one to just take it and receive it and look to apply it as they have need of. Lord God, there might be someone here that's never received you or have a false sense of security in their relationship with Jesus Christ. I pray right now that you would convict that individual, that you would reveal to them their need to be saved. Because it starts with faith. An unsaved man cannot have communications with an almighty God, can never fast and get the power from God. But a saved man can. I pray that we would make sure that we are saved and that we have followed the steps that we know to follow in baptism and church membership. And I pray, God, right now, speak to us. And if there's a decision that we need to make, help us to make it right now before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name we pray.